You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Where is God? He's right there, where he's shown himself to be.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, hope of the hopeless, and help of the helpless, extend your hand of grace and blessing to us in our troubles. Lead us over the rough spots to the high ground of faith in you and in your Son, Jesus Christ, Savior of all who cry to you for salvation, firmly believing in you and committing everything to your care and keeping. With all confidence in you and in your Son, Jesus, we pray to you, as he commanded us to pray, in his saving name. Amen. You're up against it when you run up against a stone wall. There's no way through it. There's no way over or around it. The whole thing looks like a dead end. What do you do when you're up against it? Some people go crazy. Others just do crazy things which they regret later on. Still others just lie down and die. All those solutions, if that's what you can call them, are products of despair, the desperate attitude of people who have no hope and can find no help. Let me bring to you today the words of a man who found both hope and help in God, to whom he turned or returned when he was up against it. He's the man who wrote Psalm 42, which was written in exile, as the psalmist himself says. Here in exile, my heart is breaking, and so I turn my thoughts to God. He has sent waves of sorrow over my soul. Chaos roars at me like a flood, like waterfalls thundering down the Jordan from Mount Hermon and Mount Mizar. May the Lord show his constant love during the day, so that I may have a song at night, a prayer to the God of my life. To many people I know, that sounds like whistling in the dark when you're going through the graveyard at night, instead of a song when they're up against it. Most people have a constant plaintive whine. That may be understandable under the circumstances, but it is not pretty, and certainly offers no hope or help to anyone. Maybe there isn't any hope or help. That's what a lot of people think. You take what life has to give. You are happy in the good times. You are sad in the bad times. When you're up against it, there's nothing left but despair. Not so, said the psalmist. As a deer longs for a stream of cool water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for you, the living God. When can I go and worship in your presence? Day and night I cry, and tears are my only food. All the time my enemies ask me, where is your God? My heart breaks when I remember the past, when I went with the crowds to the house of God and led them as they walked along, a happy crowd, singing and shouting praise to God. Why am I so sad? Why am I so troubled? I will put my hope in God, and once again I will praise him, my Savior and my God. This man grieved, as many of us do, over the past. He remembered how good it was, how pleasant to be young and full of life. He remembered how it was when father and mother were alive, and he was the apple of their eye. He remembered his wife and children, whose company he no longer could enjoy because he was in exile from his former way of life. He remembered the feasts, even some of the famines, because there was always hope and always help from people who loved him and cared about him. Now, all of that was over, like a man facing a stone wall, too hard to break through and too high to climb. He was up against it, with nowhere to turn, except to the living God. People write to me all the time who are up against it. Some of them are older and some are younger. Many of the older people are living on small means, which are shrinking all the time. Their friends have died. They're often dependent on younger people who are preoccupied with their own pursuits. Younger people also have their troubles. Some of them are up against it in other ways. A young man has just lost his wife and children through a breakup in the family. A young wife suddenly finds herself with the responsibility of raising a startled and perplexed company of young children because her husband and their father has just been killed in an automobile accident. It is very easy at a time like that, quite understandable, to think of yourself as an exile, a stranger, living in a foreign land. Thinking about the past does not help a great deal, because it only highlights the perplexities of the present and suggests the futility of the future. You may have seen, as I have, whole personalities change with the passage of time. People who were buoyant and cheerful only a few years before have become bitter and complaining only a few years later. People who were willing to help only a few years before are interested now only in hurting others. Sometimes this happens with age, with a physical disability like hardening of the arteries, which sometimes accompanies the aging process. However, that's not nearly as common as the ordinary bitterness and everyday complaining in which older people often engage. It comes from something else, from feelings of estrangement, as the former way of life is no more. The options are becoming fewer. The stone wall looms up in the darkness ahead. It's like being in exile from the land you knew and loved. The same thing can happen to younger people. A person can have a strong body. You young people may feel good right now. I'm strong and nothing can hurt me. But even the strongest body, subjected to extended and undue strain, will weaken. The same thing can happen to the spirit. You can have a strong personality, yet if that spirit is subjected to prolonged and extensive strain, it too will weaken. I've seen that happen. You have no other strength to fall back on. You're through, young as you may be. Some of you may be going through a time like that right now, young as you are. You're up against it. You simply do not have the resources to meet either the problems or the opportunities that confront you. You feel that you have failed, and you are alone in your despair. The man who wrote this psalm was not ashamed to admit that he had been crying. To God, my defender, I say, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go on suffering from the cruelty of my enemies? I'm crushed by their insults as they keep on asking me, where is your God? Sometimes you know why you are in trouble. You brought it on yourself. There are other times when troubles come and difficulties arise, seemingly out of nowhere, without any warning at all. Those are the toughest times to take. The thought occurs to you, as it did to the psalmist, God, why are you punishing me? That implies a feeling common to us all. God, you know how good I have been. You are good. Why do you let this happen to me? I've heard people witness when, as they say, they have found God. One time I lived a bad life, they say. I found God, now I'm born again. Sometimes such people give the impression that they've been living continually on cloud nine ever since. That's not all true. Everybody has his ups and downs. We all have our high moments and our low ones. We all need hope and help, the kind that stands up when we are up against it. The psalmist found that out for himself. Everybody has to find it out for himself. Jesus Christ, God's own Son, had to find it out for himself. He could have used his own power, which he had from the Father from the beginning, but he did not. He went his Father's way, the one laid out for him by his Father, even when it meant the most disgraceful and degrading death anyone could possibly imagine. The worst thing that could happen to anybody in those days was to be crucified, held up as a public spectacle, and dying under the most excruciating circumstances. At almost the last moment, he rebuked Peter, who wanted to take matters into his own hands with the sword he'd been carrying for just such an occasion. "Don't you think," said Jesus, "that my Father would send 12 legions of angels to help me if I needed them?" He did not need any help except the help of his Father. His only confidence was in his Father. "Father," he said, "forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Then he was crucified. At the end, he said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." His Father did not disappoint him and raised him from the dead. Where is your God? He's right there, where he's shown himself to be, in Jesus Christ, raised from the dead by the glory of his Father, saying to you in behalf of his Father, "I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Where's God? He's right with you, in Jesus Christ. He was with the whole world in his life and death. He's with the whole world in his resurrection from the dead. What a man to be the mediator between God and men. What a God to forgive your sins when you don't deserve that, and to give you life just at the time when you're up against it. What a Savior to redeem you from the clutches of despair. And what a Lord to make everything come out for good when it looks as if the worst is about to happen. The psalmist remembered God in his mercy, which he had learned to celebrate in former times. For him, God was not just a last resort. He was the first resort. The people of God were told to teach these things to their children, to talk about God when they were resting and when they were working, when they were walking and when they were sitting down. When he was up against it, the psalmist remembered. "As a deer longs for a stream of cool water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for you, the living God. When can I go and worship in your presence? Day and night I cry, and tears are my only food. All the time my enemies ask me, 'Where is your God? Why am I so sad? Why am I so troubled?' I will put my hope in God, and once again I will praise him, my Savior and my God." The psalmist found it out for himself, as you have to find it out for yourself. Hope in God is not an exercise in futility. It's the ultimate release from futility. He is always God. You can depend upon him, because God is and forgives and gives new life every day, as he does through faith in his Son Jesus. There's always hope. How glad I am that there's a psalm like this in the Bible. It tells of the human struggle. It's a picture of what life is really like. It does not cover up what a man feels when he's down for what looks like the countdown. The cry of the psalmist is genuine, and so is God, to whom he turns in his extremity. He knows God and trusts God. He's a pious man, but he does not trust in his own piety. He turns once more to God, and he will not be disappointed. Neither will you. "Why am I so sad? Why am I so troubled? I will put my hope in God, and once again I will praise him, my Savior and my God." Up against it, turn to God for help. Look to God for hope. Put right with God through faith in Jesus. Have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through faith, God brings you to the experience of his grace. Now live in his grace. You can boast even of your troubles, because you know with faith in God that trouble brings endurance, endurance brings God's approval, and his approval creates hope. Hope does not disappoint. God pours out his love into your heart this day by means of his Holy Spirit, who is God's gift to you, promised by the Lord Jesus himself, with this little word of hope that comes directly from him. Amen.